Good morning. We are officially in the month of February, huh? I know that everybody was here when the announcement was made earlier, so let me just remind again that the men's breakfast is coming up a week from this coming Saturday, rather not a week from this coming Saturday, and looking forward to spending that time with you guys. 7 o'clock, Fellowship Hall. We have a special speaker bringing a devotion that day. Frank Donato is going to bring the devotion. Can't wait to hear that. Also, the men's meeting again tomorrow evening, Monday evening, weather permitting. And we have choir practice today at 12:45. That's why I'm always late, at 11:40. So choir members, please be prompt with that. And there was one more thing I wanted to mention here. Yes, thank you. Wednesday night Bible study. Because of the amount of snow we've got over in Santa Mariches over there, there's no place to park there. So we are going to, for this Wednesday, assuming we don't get more snow, this coming Wednesday we're going to be here in the Fellowship Hall at 7 o'clock for the Wednesday East End Bible study. You're invited to come. Please, I want to thank you all for your support. Your cards, your flowers that were sent, your gifts of food to the hungry, your gifts of Bibles, your fruit baskets, just your phone calls. Thank you so much for your support and the loss that we suffered this week with Jen's dad passing, actually 2 weeks ago, but just getting back last week. So I wanted to thank you for all that. Got a lot to say to you today, and the topic is about prayer, but before I do, let me just throw this quick story in. There was a lion in the jungle that was fierce and powerful. And so this very special hunter, this well-trained hunter in this area, went after him. And just when he had him in his sights to shoot and take this lion down, his gun jammed. And so the lion, sensing that he had the advantage, went after him, and the guy took off, and he's running, and the lion's right at his heels, and the guy screams out, "Oh, God, help me!" And he's expected to be pounced on and eaten and devoured, but instead he sees the lion kneeling and praying. And the guy looks up and says, "Oh my goodness, are you a Christian?" And the lion says, "Yes, I'm praying over my food before I eat it." Today's message is about prayer. And we have been going through a study from the Good Morning Welcome about... We have all of these things that included on that morning welcome, and they have Holy Spirit and the Word, the fellowship, ministering to those in need, and today is prayer. And prayer, which seems like a very simple topic in a way, is an amazingly complex topic. So we're going to see how God will direct us and move us in that direction. The text will be from Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, but we aren't going to go to it immediately. We're going to come back to it, but you can turn to that, find that, Exodus chapter 33, it's verses 7 through 11. I want you to understand the opening premise today. Let's start with this premise, that God is up to something in your life, that God is up to something in our lives as believers, that he has a plan and a purpose, and he has a reason for what he does, and that prayer is a major part of it. Prayer is a major part of it. My father-in-law, Fred Fisher, went on to be the Lord 2 weeks ago, and we were therefore attending his funeral a week ago, Thursday. He and his wife, Violet, my mother-in-law, Violet, would have celebrated their 68th wedding anniversary tomorrow, today. That's why they kept getting confused all the time, right? Fred and Violet were always arguing about which day they were married on. Fred was saying the first, she was saying the second, and she said, "What's wrong with you? I wouldn't have got married on Groundhog Day." Today would have been, 68 years today. But the Lord couldn't wait any longer for him. He just wanted to have his company closer to him, so he took him home. My father-in-law did not have a great deal of wealth. He wasn't the kind of guy to say, well, what a successful man financially or his holdings or things that he had. But if you would have heard the testimonials at his funeral, you would have sworn that he is the most successful man in the world in the things that really mattered. My nephew Daniel Woodall got up and shared. And until that point, I was doing okay. I was holding it together, you know. But when he got up and shared, he started to talk about it. He was all right when he stood up at the beginning, but when he started talking, he said, we had gone to see this play, he and his wife. And the play was about a character who did not have a lot in this world, but he had a family that loved him, and he loved God. And as he began to say this, he broke down where he could not get the words out. He was literally sobbing while he was saying it. And he pointed to the coffin, the closed casket, and said, that man is a success story. Fred and Violet were praying people. They believed in the power of prayer. And today I want to talk to you about their legacy and about your legacy, about God, what God has for you in prayer. The challenge of prayer. This is the title of the message, the challenge of prayer. We have all kinds of excuses for prayer. You know, we've got distractions today in our time. And it's true, 21st century, things are going on more and more, faster and faster. There isn't a lot of time. And because of that, we have trouble doing the exact opposite of stopping, sitting, being quiet for a while, and seeking God. Some people will say I'm a doer more than a prayer, so it's hard for me to pray. But I like what-ifs. You know me with what-ifs. So I'm going to give you a what-if today because I hear this. What if we could have lived in the day that Jesus lived? What if we could have been there when Jesus walked this earth? What if we could have heard him, Jesus himself, delivering this? We wouldn't have had to pray. We're right there with him. Martha, Mary, Lazarus, they didn't have to pray. They sat right at the feet of Jesus. His disciples, they didn't have to pray. They sat right at the feet of Jesus. They had him right there. They didn't need to pray. Really? Oh, really? Isn't Lazarus the one who died because Jesus didn't get there in time? How often do you think Mary and Lazarus and Martha and the disciples, how much time did they have really to sit at Jesus' feet? Well, the disciples had a lot of time because they were with him for 3 years. But I don't think they really learned how to pray until he was removed from them. Even though they asked him about, Lord, show us how to pray, and he gave them that Lord's Prayer that we recite. If I asked you to do that right, you probably could do it from memory. And yet, do we really know how to pray? It isn't that they had the advantage then because they sat at Jesus' feet. No. We have the advantage now because at the time that Jesus was there, he could only be in one place at one time. He was limited by a human body. But in the time that we live now, we have no limitations. We have open invitation 24/7. We can come before the Lord and seek it. In fact, we have this invitation where the Lord calls us to do this. And Jesus is not limited now by a human body in one place. He is sitting on the right hand of God the Father in a new body. And he's making intercession for us from the prayers that we make that are prompted by the Holy Spirit, teaching us and showing us how to pray. So today we want to look at that challenge of prayer. We have double power in prayer. And we're going to talk about that two-edged sword of prayer. More than anything else, God wants us to talk with him, to pray with him. And I want you to consider these verses, and we'll be up here in a second. Three of them. Psalm 23:6. Look at this one. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. Your love, unfailing love, will pursue me all the days of my life. David wrote about how God was pursuing him, how God is pursuing you. John 4:23. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking those people who will worship him in that way. Jesus' words to the woman at the well. The Father is seeking. Revelation 3:20. Jesus' words, him speaking to your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open that door to their heart, I will come in with them and sup with them, as King James says, but have a meal with them and they with me. I stand at the door and knock. Prayer is the most powerful force in the universe. It should be our first line of defense, and yet it is often our last resource. When all else fails, pray. Instead, it should be the other way around. John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, said this: "You can do more after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." Let me read that again. You can do more after you have prayed. There's always more we can do. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Prayer is primary. Now, I'm going to give you a little quiz today, so I want you to try this with me. I'm going to give you a number of different bullets of types of things that are involved with God, all of them involved with God. And the ones that you think are not part of prayer, I want you to mentally eliminate that part. You ready? Okay, here they are. So, first group, quiet meditation, no speaking. Next, giving thanks, petitioning God with requests, praise and worship, making time just to be alone with God, seeking direction, intercessory prayer, searching for God's will, asking for forgiveness, making a promise or a commitment, questioning God about situations or circumstances in your life, asking God to bless you, a personal blessing, calling on God in a desperate moment, listening for Him in that still small voice, thinking about God throughout the day, continuing to see God even though there is no evidence of change. Now, if you couldn't find something to eliminate from that list, you were right. Because all of those things include and are part of, make up, constitute prayer. Prayer is all of those things, and all of those things deal with the communication and speaking to God. Turn with me now to Exodus 33, verses 7 through 11. This is from the Message. It'll be up here from the Message. You can check and read. I encourage you to read from your own scripture as well. And this is dealing with Moses and a young man named Joshua. Exodus 33, and verse 7 begins. Moses used to take the tent and set it up outside the camp, some distance away. He called it the Tent of Meeting. And anyone who sought God would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. It went like this. When Moses would go to the tent, all the people would stand at attention. Each man would take his position at the entrance to his tent. So all of the separate tents were set up. But there was the one central tent called the Tent of Meeting, the place, the official place for prayer and seeking God. The men would stand at their tents. Moses would go into the Tent of Meeting, each man taking his position at the entrance of his tent with eyes on Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud descended at the entrance to the tent, and God spoke with Moses. The pillar of cloud was like a steam. It was what we call the Shekinah glory from the Old Testament. Visible evidence of God descending and going into that place. In the Catholic Church, you'll still see them at times walking down, the priests, and they'll be moving back and forth with an incense thrower. You probably have seen that. You may have maybe been in service with that. And what they're doing is trying to, again, create the idea of the smoke in the church, the presence, the visible presence of God, the Shekinah that literally happened here with Moses and with the people of Israel. All the people would see the pillar of cloud at the entrance of the tents. They would stand at attention and then bow in worship, each man at the entrance of his tent. Verse 11. And God spoke with Moses face to face as neighbors speak one to another. When he would return to the camp, his attendant, the young Joshua, stayed. He didn't leave the tent. Did you get that last part? Moses, the one that God spoke face to face with, in the tent, when it was completed, would leave the tent and return to the camp. But Joshua didn't want to go. Joshua stayed behind. And the question we want to ask is, why? Have you ever really been in the presence of God? How many people have been in the presence of God? I mean, I know you're here right now in the presence of God, but in such a way that you are so overwhelmed and so blessed and so enthralled that you don't want to leave. If you haven't experienced that, you don't know what you're missing. And today I pray that before we leave this place, you have that kind of experience where we're going to have to kick you out of here because you don't want to go. When God's presence ascends on us, when he comes to speak to our heart, it is no longer religion that we're talking about. We're not talking about following the rules. We're talking about real life experience. We're not talking about creating something. We're talking about experience something. We're talking about God changing our heart and life because his presence is so permeable, so real, that you can cut it with a knife and it just completely fills you, endues you, and you don't want to leave it. Now, some of you have had a taste of that, but God wants you to have more. Nothing is more important to him. Nothing is more important to him than him having this conversation with you, and we call this conversation, we call this experience prayer. Worship and praise are part of that. Joshua stayed behind because he wanted more from God. He couldn't get enough. And we can see later on in his life that because of those experiences, because of those times with God, God would use him as the next leader of Israel, and it was time for Moses to step down. A young woman named Ligon Stevens was an experienced mountaineer. At the age of 20, she had climbed all kinds of peaks and mountains. She had climbed something like four peaks in Ecuador by the Andes, and she had climbed something like 36 mountains in Colorado with some amazing feats for somebody who was only 20. At age 23, she was climbing with her brother, and she was suddenly lost, killed in an avalanche. Her brother survived, but he couldn't. He frantically searched for his sister, but couldn't find her. All he could find was her prayer journal. She said, her comment was this, "I climb because I love the mountains. I meet God there." This is the way she prayed to God. And when she was lost, amazingly, her journal was not lost. And I want to read to you just one piece, a little part, like a poem, a prayer, from her journal. And this is it. It's called Caution. And she writes, "Caution," this is the title of this poem, "Caution, I am weird. Caution, I am weird," by Ligon Stevens. And here's the poem, the prayer. "I fast because I'm hungry. I run because I'm thirsty. I die every day because I want to live. I lead because I follow. I give everything away because I'm rich. I am weak and broken, so I will be strong. I see more when my eyes are closed. I'm in love with someone I haven't seen. I love the unlovely. I'm honored when people mock me. I embrace these foolish things to become wise. I will walk wholeheartedly out on any limb he requires, God requires. Because even if it breaks, I know he will teach me to fly." 23-year-old suddenly taken away, a life that was rich and full. And yet, after her death, God is working more in her life with her journal to minister to people than even before. The result of prayer, result of relationship. Prayer, as I mentioned earlier, is a double-edged sword. It impacts the things and the people that we pray for. When you get down to pray, when you stand up to pray, wherever you are that you're praying, and I don't mean to say to you that you have to be in a particular specific place, but most people seem to find a place that works for them to pray. For most people, it seems the place to go is a place where they can be alone and be still with God. But that doesn't work for everybody. It's not the same for everybody. I know people who pray on the subway. I know people who pray at the ballpark. And there are people who pray throughout the day. There is no specific formula for how to pray or go about praying. But nothing is more important than for us to take time to pray because it gives us the avenue for God to speak down back to us again. It impacts when we pray. It impacts the people we pray for. It impacts the things we pray for. And while we are praying, it impacts us. This past week, I took a few moments. Jen and I went over to my daughter's house, to Heather's house. Heather is has started her chemo the week before, and she had a second treatment this week. And she's doing good, and she's doing well because of your prayers. I appreciate and thank you, and please keep praying for her. And so to give her a chance to spend some time with her mom, I went outside with the girls, and since there was snow all everywhere, it was perfect with the snow. And they were trying to make a little mound of snow to use with their sleds. So they went to the back deck, and they got the snow shovel, and they were trying to shovel up to make a little mound so they could run down this thing. It was about a 3-second ride. Cheap thrills. And so I said, let me help you with this. So Poppy got out the shovel as well, and we started to make a bigger mound. The problem was that it got so big they couldn't get to the top of it. They would try to jump to the top of it, they'd slide back the other way again. We needed more of a run to get up there. But they'd get to the top and say, okay, come on, let's see how far you can go. Who can get the furthest? And they'd go down, and they'd be screaming and yelling, and one time they were actually going over the top of each other. They wouldn't wait for each other. They slide over the top of the one that was laying on the ground still. It was great. And as much fun as that was to spend that time with them, bigger hills await. Just not far away is another place called Camp Aquatic, where there's a much steeper hill. Bigger hills await those girls. Today, there are many of you sitting out there with talents and abilities that you've never used. You don't even know you have them. You haven't yet discovered them. When I was turning 40, my mother said to me, you're going to discover some things about yourself that you don't yet know. You're going to discover that you have abilities that you don't yet know. And I looked at her and said, what is she talking about? I'm 40 years old. What am I going to discover? What is she talking about? She was right. There is a time where you begin to understand and discover certain things. But for me and for you as believers, that time is hastened. It's quickened when we begin to give more of that time to God. You could be content with a little hill. You can stay at that little hill. And you can have some thrills. They'll be short-lived. It's fun. But there are bigger hills awaiting for you. There are bigger challenges awaiting for you. And the way to find them is the same way that David found them. You realize that when David came against Goliath, he was still really just a kid. And he never expected what happened that day to happen. He wasn't going there for that reason. He was delivering lunch. I mean, he's the food guy. His father says to him, leave the shepherd stuff alone. Go get the lunch and bring it to your brothers. And then bring back a report to me what's going on. That's what his assignment was. Instead, he ends up taking on the champion of the Philistines. Now, how did that all happen? It happened because while he was being the shepherd, while he was at the small hill, God had lots of time to speak to him. He was out there tending his father's sheep, with lots of time for prayer and lots of time to meditate. And during that time, God began to work in him. And of course, there were the steps to move up. There was the lion, there was the bear. And then when God was ready, because of the continued communion, with the continued time of prayer with him, then the giant came. You don't ever know when you're going to face that giant in your life. But because of your relationship with God, because of the prayer time you're spending with him, he is preparing you. And again, let me just say this again one more time. Some of you sitting out there, most of you sitting out there, but especially the younger Christians out there, there are some talents and abilities that you have not yet discovered. Things about yourself that God knows and he wants to reveal to you. How will that happen? By the time you spend with him, by the courage that you gain from being with him, by the confidence you get from a new life with him. It comes back to the heart. There's no formula for prayer. Yeah, you can become disciplined in prayer. We need to have discipline in prayer. Yes, good. Discipline is good. But if all you have in discipline is discipline, then you have robotic prayer. What God wants is a prayer from your heart. The heart of prayer is prayer from the heart. That was a little piece from Daily Bread this week. The heart of prayer is prayer from the heart. The Father is seeking above all else an open heart that can be filled and directed by His Spirit. That's what Joshua wanted when he didn't leave the tent. Moses had the profile, and he was blessed and used of God. Joshua was still learning, and he wanted more from the Lord. He had that heart that God could work with. That's what God wants from us. That's what God desires from you, and that's what prayer is about. It starts and it ends with prayer. Revelation 3:20. Let me read this one more time to you. This is Jesus standing at the door of your heart. This is Jesus giving an invitation to your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock of your heart. And if anyone, any man, hear my voice and open that door, I will come into them and sup with them, and they with me. Communion. Today we took communion. Today, the Lord is offering you again communion right now. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is that still small voice that is the most powerful voice when God speaks to us. It isn't the thundering, booming roar. It's the still, small voice. It means you've got to put the other things aside. You can't hear it with all the noise. For these next few moments, put the other things aside and listen for that still, small voice. Listen to what the Lord has to say to you today. He's there knocking. He's wanting to work with that heart. Let's give Him a few moments. Just take a few moments. Be prayerful with me right now. Praise God. Would you stand with me right now? If you would you do this, I would appreciate it if you would just do this with me. Just reach across to the person next to you and grab a hand. Just make a link. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. While you're standing there holding that hand to that person, pray for them right now. You can make it a silent prayer. You don't have to pray out loud, but just pray. And Father, you have great plans for these people. And it doesn't matter how young, and it doesn't matter how old we are today. We belong to you. There are some here who don't even realize that yet. They haven't made that commitment yet. But Lord, you are after them. You are pursuing them. And they, Lord, belong to you. And Father, right now, as we're holding the hand of the person next to us, we are praying for them, Lord, and they are praying for us. Father, teach us this morning what prayer really is. May your Spirit, Lord, touch each heart and each mind. Lord, as they continue their prayer, as they seek you, Lord, this week, that their minds and hearts would be invaded by your Spirit as they are praying. They would recognize and know that they are actually praying out the will of God because they are hearing your voice and responding to it. Now we pray, Father, that as this service comes to an end, your company with us would not come to an end. As Joshua wanted to remain behind, Lord, we want to stay in your presence, O God. When we walk out of these doors, we stay in your presence, O God. Let your healing, let your power, let your life-changing force live in them, O God. Commune with them, O Lord. Impact their lives so they impact others. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. May the Lord bless you, be with you, and protect you in the snow.